Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite.
This morning we have Nathan on in the aftermath of a fairly horrific incident yesterday. Nathan, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm glad to be home. It was a fairly shocking end to what had been a remarkable coming together of people throughout yesterday at Liverpool. I mentioned yesterday morning a million people, and you sort of throw that number out there without realising what it means. Remember, Liverpool, sort of Dublin-sized city, quite a centralised area where people all like to congregate on days like this, and then to have that many people that close together, all in harmony, all enjoying themselves, all celebrating, and for it to have this tragic end, though the relief, I think, for most people this morning is that somehow, when we see the footage, somehow nobody was killed.
Yeah, so the footage began to emerge yesterday evening of a car slowly and then quickly revving up. You were actually just around the corner from this, were you?
I was actually at the end of Water Street watching the parade. So I went down to Liverpool yesterday lunchtime and quickly realised that this wouldn't be a case of finding a nice spot and relaxing and watching the bus go by. As I walked down Water Street, there was a cordon there with some stewards. They were trying to move people along. This is sort of 3 o'clock. This is probably 2.5 hours before the bus goes through to further down the Strand, because already at that stage it was absolutely crammed. I went down, I had my microphone with me, so they let me through, and it was like sardines down there. Everywhere you looked, there were people. There was some building work going on one of a sort of 3 or 4 story building just to the left of where I was, and every part of the scaffolding was covered in Liverpool fans hanging off it. Now, it was all very good-natured. Everyone was just singing their songs, but it couldn't have been packed any tighter. In fact, about 10 minutes before the bus was coming, I saw some people leaving with their children because it had become just too much. So that was just right at the end of Water Street, around 50 metres from where the incident happened. And I was looking back at some of the videos I'd taken, and the Liverpool bus goes by at 5:45 at pretty much exactly 5:45. And like around then was just, you know, the entire city was singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" in unison together as the bus goes past. Like this outrageous level of emotion and outpouring of joy from everybody. But the second the bus went by, everybody was going straight back home because it had been torrential rain all day in Liverpool. Everyone was soaked through. So I started walking back up Water Street with thousands upon thousands of other people, but it was moving slowly. I think everybody understood the sheer volume of people that were there. Nobody was rushing. There was nobody pushing. There was no crushing, anything like that. And I'd left my equipment in a hotel just the next street over. So peeled across in there at about 5:50. I took video actually just right where the incident had happened at about 5:50, 10 minutes beforehand. And you can see the sort of scale of the crowd that is there. And to hear the news then filter through just a few minutes later, that a car had gone through this crowd, like to give the only comparison I could give of, like this would be like a car driving down the Joneses Road 10 minutes after the All-Ireland final. Like that is how packed the streets of Liverpool were in the minutes after the parade.
Reports today, 4 children. among 50 people injured after the car ploughed through the crowd. 27 people taken to hospital. 2 suffered serious injuries, including a child. A 53-year-old man has been arrested, obviously very quickly, given the situation that we're in the world at the moment. They very quickly established that it was a white British man. One thing that I think probably needs remarked on here is just the work that was done immediately by the police and the stewards to prevent the crowd from getting to him.
Yeah, because justice will have to take its course. And, you know, unfortunately, the world we live in right now, it was probably important that the police got the information out around his ethnicity, which is just a sad reflection of particularly the online world right now, where you have people just hoping almost for another outcome. It felt like looking to try and spark something in Liverpool last night. But obviously what happened was heightened in terms of the number of people who were affected by this because of the crowd. But thankfully, it also meant that there were a huge amount of paramedics very close by that were ready and able to swing into action very, very quickly. And I've no doubt that that saved an awful lot of lives last night. And it does feel like an absolute miracle that nobody was killed. I was talking to a couple of lads from Dublin who were sort of wandering around at the police cordon about an hour afterwards, and they were on the street, they were almost hit, and they were just shell-shocked. One of them said to me it had gone in the matter of moments from being the best day of his life to the worst day of his life. And the picture they were painting was a horrific one. And listen, the picture is there for everybody to see. I'm sure people have watched the videos online at this stage of what happened. And it's just inexplicable that something like that could happen so soon after the end of the parade.
Was the management of the parade controlled and efficient, Nathan? Should cars even be in the area at all?
Yeah, I think that's probably where the questions are going to start now. Again, the scale of this is almost unprecedented. It was a 10 to 15 mile route. So where, if you were to bring in a cordon, would you start? Like the bus almost did a loop of the outer ring roads of the city. And I ended up, again, just to give a sense of the scale of this, I was covering the match, obviously, on Sunday. There was no chance of getting a hotel in Liverpool on Sunday night, so I ended up staying in Manchester. Thought I'd get the train down early yesterday morning, soak it all up. Went to Piccadilly, went to Victoria in Manchester around 11 a.m. yesterday, and just couldn't get on a train. Like, the trains were so packed arriving into Manchester to get to Liverpool, there was no way of getting on a train. So I ended up getting a taxi that should take about 40 minutes, took well over 2 hours. The roads were just rammed with Liverpool supporters getting to the city as quickly as they possibly could to try and savour this. So the scale of the amount of people that was there, I've never quite seen anything like it. And you get out of the taxi and was able to drive quite close. It's a sea of red, but it's just a wall of people. And security was very chilled out, I would have said. It didn't feel like it was wall to wall with police officers or anything like that. The only thing I saw in terms of cars was actually, when I was thinking back afterwards, as I sort of peeled off Water Street, there's a small car park there that holds maybe 25, 30 cars. And I saw people sort of rushing back and getting in and out of the rain, and thinking at the time that they're probably going to be stuck there for 3 or 4 hours. But it does seem that there were cars parked along the street, and that cars earlier in the day had obviously been allowed quite close to the Strand, which is that final destination for the parade, and had been allowed to park there in the car parks and on the side of the street. And I'm sure now, as people start to reflect on what happened, there needed to be some sort of a cordon from very early on in the day further out. It was at that scale of people, a million people, again, it's just hard to fully get your head around that. It's hard to cover every single aspect, but I think people will be wondering how. And again, this is 15 minutes, within 15 minutes of the parade finishing, within about 50, 60 metres of where the bus went past, that a car is able to be driving along that street.
Yeah, not obviously not supposed to be. So, I mean, I guess the policing will come into sharp focus in the immediate aftermath of this. The news this morning from the Liverpool City Metro Mayor, Steve Rotherham, still 4 people who are very, very ill in hospital, he says. Asked whether or not this is an increase in the previous number of seriously injured given by the authorities last night, as 1 adult and 1 child. He says, not directly. Of course, they're in liaison with the police and the ambulance services. Last night, they had 2 goal command meetings. One was really late in the evening, so he's expecting further updates this evening. And I guess just, can you maybe paint the picture before this happened in terms of the atmosphere and the conviviality of everything? It did seem like it was just, as you say, that proper outpouring that hadn't been allowed to happen during COVID. And I know there were parades, but this kind of seems like there was a mass movement from people from weeks out planning to come yesterday because they knew what was going to happen.
And it was a mass movement from weeks out. I remember walking out of Anfield the day Liverpool won the title and been shocked by the amount of people just stood there at the COP who clearly had been outside watching the game. And myself and Brian Kerr were commentating on the match, and we were looking to get back to our taxi, and you just couldn't move. Again, it was that wall of people. So that sort of prepared me almost for yesterday. And it was a bank holiday in England yesterday as well. So everybody was off work. And the fact that they didn't get to celebrate in 2020 absolutely played into people from all over England, and not just all over England, you know, a huge amount of people that travel over from Ireland from the day just to be there, just to get a sense of it. And Liverpool's a great, great city to go out in. There's a lot of bars, there's a lot of restaurants. It knows how to handle a decent sized crowd. It knows the people go there to have a good time, to have a few drinks. And down where the Strand is, which was right at the end, remember, of a very long parade, you know, I think from lunchtime, that was packed. And in those final couple of hours beforehand, people were sort of scurrying around trying to find any space. And where I was, as I say, every single viewing space was taken up. You're looking up at people hanging off scaffolding over the parade route, thinking, Jesus, like this is risky. You know, as I say, people with children probably maybe regretting bringing them because it was just too crowded and too overwhelming. But everybody was getting into it. And every song that you could possibly think of that has been sung on the COP through the years was been sung in the minutes leading up to the bus coming. Of course, when the bus comes, it just zooms past. You can barely even hear it. You can barely even see it because there's just the red flares that every time you see any coverage of Liverpool at the moment is dominating. And it was red flares all across the city. I was just in front of where the Liver building is, and you couldn't even see the Liver building as the bus was going by. But as I say, it was done on the understanding, I think, that everybody was looking out for each other. And, you know, unfortunately, Liverpool have found themselves in situations over the last couple of years, obviously in the Champions League final, where, you know, the fans have had to police themselves, have had to make sure that everybody stayed in line, that there was no crushing, that things didn't get out of hand. And it was chaotic as the evening went on. Like, it was probably too much for the city to deal with, that influx of people. I had a flight home last night at midnight, and to be honest, I sort of assumed by the time it got to 10 o'clock I wouldn't be getting on it. Went up to Liverpool Lime Street Station, and you couldn't get in within 100 feet of it. I've heard reports of people queuing for 4 hours to get into Liverpool Lime Street Station. It didn't feel like there were trains leaving. The entire city was gridlocked, and I don't think that was because of this incident. I think that was just because so many people had come to Liverpool yesterday, and I'm not sure they were prepared for that. I'm not sure you can prepare for that influx of people. But it was a surreal end to the day then, Jer, because obviously I went down to where this had happened, and there was the police cordon, and there was a lot of witnesses in shock. But just around the corner, like, this is one street over from the Cavern District. So it's one street over from one of the main party centres of Liverpool. And there you've still people singing, not fully understanding what had happened. People still out enjoying their day. And 100 metres away, you have this terribly, terribly difficult scene. So it was a strange, strange evening. And as I say, a very memorable day up until 6 o'clock, just because you're looking around going, something like this would probably never happen again. And then a very, very surreal end to it.
To listen to this morning's full Off The Ball breakfast, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.